When you think of a cover-up, I think there's a lot of things that come to mind. I think of, and I was looking online, what's the top 10 cover-ups of all time? And one of the first things that I saw was aliens. That aliens actually exist. Anybody here believe that there really are aliens? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but you don't have to raise your hand. But some believe there are aliens out there, and you can find those aliens out in Area 51. They're there. Roswell, they've got them hid back there somewhere. Or if you're like me and you're from the Dayton area, at Wright-Patt Air Force Base, they have a Hangar 18. And there has always been a lot of controversy swirled around Hangar 18 that they have aliens and spaceships in Hangar 18. So that's a cover. How about the Kennedy assassination? Isn't that a big, and I was just a little guy when that happened. Maybe, I don't know when that happened. 60 what? 63. I wasn't even born then. Zach, you knew that? Wow, amen. He loves history. I like that. There's still controversy over that. Who killed Kennedy? How about the Nixon and Watergate? There was a big cover-up there. A lot of war crimes cover-up. When we think of this kind of cover-up, it's something that's concealed from other people, something that is hidden. Would you believe me when I say that God wants us to be involved in cover-ups? I'm going to prove to you, yes, he does. And we're going to do that by looking in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 17. We've hit on this before. We're going to get into it a little deeper. We've also talked about this on Wednesday night in our Sermon on the Mount series. In verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Let me read that to you again. We'll go back just a little bit and read another verse. But verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. If you want to turn back, you don't have to. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 12. He says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. But love covereth all sins. In case you haven't picked up on it today, yet this morning, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And I have to be honest, this is probably in my life, I think in everyone's life at times, can be one of the more difficult things to work through, the process. I believe forgiveness is a process. It's not a one-time thing. It's all done, neat, packaged up. But I do believe that forgiveness is something that all of us are going to have to deal with at some point in time in our life, because we all get hurt, right? We all have things happen to us. People say things to us, do things to us. Maybe as a child, you dealt with abuse of some kind. Maybe as an adult, you had some kind of an abuse. Maybe a friend or a family member or a coworker or a boss has done something to hurt you, and it has stirred up in you a lot of negative feelings and a lot of negative things that you have to deal with, and you know it's nagging at you, and it causes a lot of problems, spiritual and emotional and otherwise. And you've got to learn to deal with that. And the Bible is very clear that we have to learn to forgive for our, not only for the good of others, but for our own spiritual help. And so we look at this today, and I know we have spent time talking about this in Matthew 6. We talked about friends in Proverbs a few weeks ago. But I do believe that we all wrestle with this, and we can't spend too much time with this. But let's move back into the New Testament to kind of get a New Testament perspective here. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 31 and 32, he says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And we don't have time to go into a lot of these things, but bitterness and anger and, you know, just that type of thing that comes into our life as a result of unforgiveness, those things get stirred up in us. In verse 32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgive. Now, if you would, move over to Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Paul says here, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. We'll talk about this in a minute. Forbearing and forgiving are two different things. They're not the same. Forbearing means to put up with one another. Forgiving means to let that debt go. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive. As we have been forgiven, forgive. Well, I want to look at three things, and then I have some things to share with you today, something very newsworthy to share and how it fits in today. I'll give you three things. Number one, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness not? And why we are to forgive? And if we can learn this, I really believe that it'll add a lot of peace, a lot of joy to our life. And maybe you've not been hurt that way. Maybe you don't have anyone in your life that you've got to extend a great amount of forgiveness to. I can tell you, if you live the Christian life long enough and in the right way, that'll happen. People will hurt you. People won't like you. And they'll say things about you. And they'll do things to you that are hurtful and wrong. And that's a part of life. That's a part of the Christian life. I mean, folks, let's just think about this. They crucified our Savior who did nothing wrong. You think me and you are exempt from pain and suffering of that? Not the cross, but what about the emotional pain and suffering for following Christ? It's going to happen. And dealing with it can save you a lot. Save you a lot. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the releasing of a debt, to give up a debt. A debt is something that someone owes you. When they hurt you, they are, in a sense, sinfully indebted to you because they have wronged you. They have hurt you. Forgiveness is to let them out of that debt. Like if someone came to me and said, hey, Brian, I need $1,000, and I'll pay it back. You know I'm good for it. And so I give them that $1,000, and all of a sudden, their life gets turned upside down. There's no hope of that $1,000. Do I still say, you owe me, or can I release the debt and say, you don't owe me that anymore? If I release them from that debt, it's the same as saying, you don't owe that to me anymore. You're debt-free. Forgiveness is a lot the same way. The sin debt that someone has or I have against someone, I come to a point where I say, you're forgiven. The debt has been released. The debt has been released. Or it's a choosing to turn hurt and pain over to God. When you and I make a conscious choice to turn the hurt and pain that we are experiencing because of the things that others have done, we say, God, you're going to have to take this because I can't deal with it anymore. Number three, it's an act of grace and mercy exercised on an undeserving person. Did you get that? It's an act of grace and mercy exercised on an undeserving person. It's a gift we give, right at the heart of forgiveness is the word give. Something we give. Something we give. What is forgiveness? What forgiveness is not? Let me give you what forgiveness is not. It's not forbearance. You know, when Paul talked in Colossians chapter 3 about, he said, forbear one another and forgive. Forbearing is, as a church, we have to put up with one another. We're supposed to, we don't have to, I guess. We can choose not to forbear, but that goes against Scripture, that we are a family. We are a church family. And in your family at home, everybody acts perfectly, right? Your kids act perfectly. Your wife, your husband, your parents are perfect, right? Alex, you're dodging your parents. Why are you hiding behind the pillar? Dad was looking at you. Because he understands. Now, I'm not going to say anything. I don't think that's going to. Is your dad perfect? No. Okay. Is your son perfect? No. Now, your wife is, right? Good. Good answer. So, we have issues in a home. I know you, none of you believe this, especially Al Parsley does not believe that my wife is not perfect. She has flaws. And not the man she's married to. That's not the flaw, okay? She has flaws. She is not perfect. She makes mistakes. She gets mad at me sometimes when I've done nothing wrong. And, you know, it's, no, we don't have time for that. Anyway, she's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I've got great kids, but I got news for you. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. All right, do I, when my child makes a mistake, do I say, that's it, you're out of here? Only if they're 35 and still living at home, then I got the right. But typically, when your child does something wrong, you do what? You put up with it. Why? Because that is your child. Your wife, your husband, they do things that upset you. What do? You forbear them. All right? God says that us as a church, we need to forbear. We need to put up with one another. Y'all have to put up with me until God moves you somewhere else. You all have to put up with my wife. We all have to put up with Lee. I'm kidding. I love Lee. Lee is a great guy, and I can kid him, and he takes it well. But, you know, we have to forbear one another. We have to put up with one another. Now, forgiveness is something different. While forbearance has the idea of people doing things that aren't really biblical or right, or maybe it just rubs us the wrong way or not fit to our personality, forgiveness has to do with sins committed against an individual. So while forbearance is putting up with, we are commanded to, forgiveness is an individual thing where somebody hurts us. So we don't always have to, when we forgive, we don't always have to forbear. Doesn't mean that if someone hurts me, I've got to put up with them all the time. I've got to put up with their continued bad behavior against me and the wrong they do me. I don't have to forbear that, but I do have to forgive that. And that doesn't mean that in order for me to be right, I have to get away from them. It just means that I need to come to a place where I forgive. And in God's church, in God's family, there are times when you are going to have to forgive someone else in here because they're going to hurt you. They're going to say some things. It's going to happen, but it's not forbearance. Forgiveness is not forgetting. That's an impossibility. You cannot forget what someone has done. As much as sometimes we'd like to try, we can't do that. Maybe as a child you were abused. You cannot forget that. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you come to a place where you forget what happened to you. Thirdly, forgiveness is not eliminating the consequences of one's sins. Here's what I've heard a lot. I can't forgive them because that means they get off the hook. No. Listen, you got to understand that whatever a person does, there is a biblical precept. and I believe this precept is there, and I believe it. God said through Paul, whatsoever a man soweth, what? He's going to reap. There's consequences. My bad behavior bears consequences. My good behavior bears consequences. My bad behavior bears consequences. Listen, you and I are not stepping into the place of God and saying, you know what? I forgive you. Therefore, all the consequences are gone. We can't do that. Our court system, there are consequences to crime. And though a person may have done wrong and they are forgiven, there's still the consequences. And listen, understand this. You may think, well, they got by with that. Listen, God sees all. God knows all. And sometimes we think they get by with something. Listen, God's in control. And we need to let God be God. All right, next. It is not, number four, it's not an emotional breakthrough. You know, there's a lot of negative emotions that are tied to unforgiveness. Bitterness, anger, strife, all of these negative things. Forgiveness is not coming to a place emotionally where you do not feel anymore. Because here's what I've learned. I have learned that forgiveness is a process, and that if I wait not to feel that, I'm going to be waiting a long time. Because depending on what's been done to you will depend on how long the emotional catches up with the spiritual. See, forgiveness is a more of a spiritual thing. It's an act of the will to obey a command that God gives us. The emotional side of forgiveness is not going to ride equally with the spiritual and the act of the will. It's going to drag behind. Now, here's what I do believe. I believe in time, as we heal, the emotion will catch up with the act of the will to a point where that when we see someone out in public, we don't have our blood pressure go through the roof. That in time, when we see that person, we can say, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Take care. We can do that. Why? Because your emotions don't always follow what is truth. They are flawed. And if you wait for the emotional to be right, you might be waiting a whole lot longer. Number five, it's not pretending you weren't hurt. Forgiveness is not, I'm good. That didn't bother me. I'm fine. You know, at some point in time, we need to face the reality of how we feel and be honest, if with no one else, with God. It is not pretending you weren't hurt. Next, it's not having to trust that person again. Listen, just because you're able to forgive someone does not mean that you're able to trust them like you did before the hurt. That doesn't mean that. Trust and forgiveness don't always run the same. Trust or forgiveness, lastly, forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. There's forgiveness, something we give, and there's reconciliation, which happens when two people who have a problem are able to come back together and make things right. And that usually requires people being honest, people being sorry, and repentance taking place for there to be a reconciliation. You know, with God, God has forgiven us. He's reconciled to us to himself. That reconciliation that God gives us is because we repent. God made provision for forgiveness to be given to everyone, but not everyone is going to experience that. Why? Because not everyone is going to be reconciled back to God, because not everyone will repent of their sins. I may be able to forgive Lee, I may be able to forgive him, but we may not ever have the same kind of relationship. So forgiveness doesn't mean that we're just happy and we got to be friends and we got to hang out, because that just doesn't happen. It can, if there's reconciliation. So that is what forgiveness is not. Now, why should you and I forgive? And I'm just going to give you the biblical reasons why we should forgive. Number one, because God says so. You know, and some say, well, that's, you know, my parents, they're not here today, so I can say this. There were times when my parents would say, I want you to do this. Well, I don't want to. Why do I have to do that? Because I said so. What parent hasn't said the same thing to their kids? My kids have not always wanted to do what we told them to do. And, well, why do I have to do that? And then here is my end game. Because I said so. It's not for your bad, it's for your good. You don't understand it, but this is what you need to do. You know, there are times I don't know what's best for Brian White, but God always knows what's best for me. That's why I have to do the things that God commands me to do. And forgiveness is not an option. It's a command. God says you need to forgive people. And so in my life, I have to do that. It's not easy. And I won't say I've done it perfectly, but God says forgive. So the first reason why we forgive is because God says so. The second is because Jesus did so. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8, we don't have time, but he talks about what Jesus did in forgiving our sins. He's the example. He went to the cross and he died, and because of that, he made possible for all of my sins to be taken away. And what I had to do was receive that. Number three, why forgive? Because it allows God to forgive us. Now, we've been studying this in Matthew chapter number 6. He tells this in that part where the Lord's, they call it the Lord's Prayer, but as Todd pointed out, it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. And he says, forgive others so you can be forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation if you don't forgive someone for the wrongs they did. It simply means that though you're a believer and you have a relationship with God, you are eternally saved. But when you choose not to forgive someone else, what happens is God says, listen, I'm going to hold a debt against you because of your unwillingness to forgive what someone else did. I am going to build a little wall between me and you, and I can't bless you. I can't use you. I can't give you the joy, the peace that I want to give you. Why? Because you have chosen not to give what I have given you. And so it's going to cause problems in this relationship. It's not that God says, I'm going to pull your salvation, but here's what he'll do. He'll pull the fellowship until we learn to forgive. We forgive so we can be forgiven. Also, number four, it allows us to grow. Forgiveness allows us to grow. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We grow. God is working on us. We grow when we forgive. And by the way, I would add this, forgiveness is an indicator of where we are spiritually. For us to be able to forgive someone shows where we are spiritually. And lastly, it spares us the bitterness of an unforgiving heart. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, there's this parable of the unforgiving servant. You've heard of that story. I preached on it a few times through the years. A servant who comes before the Lord and he owes him an unpayable amount. And the master says, I will forgive you. You are forgiven of that amount. And he jumps up and down and he's in a great mood and he goes out and he sees one of his fellow servants who owed him just a little bit, just a minuscule amount compared to the debt that he was forgiven. And he grabs him by the neck and says, you owe me, pay up. Well, there was people watching. So they go back to the Lord, the master, and they say, I just want you to know, here's the heart of your servant who was forgiven so much but extends no forgiveness. So what did he do? He brought that servant back in. He said, listen, because you are unwilling to forgive, I am going to turn you over to the tormentors. And then he says in verses 34 and 35, the meaning of this parable is we need to learn to forgive. One commentator said on this passage, this is a passage about salvation, not forgiveness. That's wrong. This is a passage on forgiveness. And the tormentor is not hell. The tormentor is the agony of unforgiveness. It will torture you. It leaves bitterness in your heart and it hurts any relationship that you can have. Now, with all of that, let's go back to Proverbs chapter number 17, verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression. Here's literally what that means. Now, when we cover a transgression, we're not covering a person, all right? It's not that, I don't want to mess anybody up, so it's not that we're covering her, okay? But we're covering sin, okay? That's important because God never wants us to cover the person. Why? Because that person is a child of God. If they're a Christian, they're a child of God. If they're not a Christian, God says, love all men. God loves them, we're to love them. You do not cover the person, you cover the sin. So when you cover that sin, what if you could imagine this first chair here is the sin that someone has committed and you cover that, can you see that sin anymore? You can't. So if you can't see it anymore, what don't you do? You don't what? Bring it up? How many times have you been in an argument with a friend or a spouse and they say, yeah, remember? If it's forgiven, it won't be remembered. Why? Because it's covered. You can't see it. It won't be remembered. It won't be held against you or them anymore. You release it. You don't make a deal out of it. You're able to walk up and shake somebody's hand. Why? Because the sin is covered. But he says this, but if you don't, and what does he say there? What's the wordage he used? The next phrase in verse number 9 says what? Huh? Repeateth. You know what it means to repeat? You bring it back up. You bring it back up. Yeah, I remember what you did to me last year. Yeah, I remember what you did to me. I'm going to hold that against you. I'm going to treat you differently. If it's covered, you're not going to. But if it's not covered up, yeah, I remember what you did. I remember how you hurt me. Oh, I see him over there in Walmart, and I'm going to just go around this other way. Because I don't want to see him. I don't want to have to talk to him. When you leave it uncovered, it's repeating the same thing towards that person over and over again. Why? Because you still see the sin. It's not covered. God says, cover it. Cover it up. We are to cover the sin. Now, I want to share something with you. We just got enough time. Some of you may have seen this week. There was a story that came out in September of last year. I remember this breaking. There was a police officer, and I believe it was in Houston or Dallas. It was out in Texas somewhere, and her name was Amber Geiger. You remember the Amber Geiger story? She got off work. She's a police officer. She got off work. She goes in. She's on the phone. She's talking to someone. And she's getting distracted. Instead of going to her floor and going into her house, her apartment, she mistakenly stopped at the second floor instead of going to the third floor. She stopped at the second floor, went to this house or apartment that she thought was hers, opened the door, and in there was a black man. And he was watching television and eating, and his name was Botham Jean. And Botham just, you know, reacted, you know, what are you doing? And she said, stop, and he didn't, and she shot him and killed him. Okay, you remember that story? It's been in the news a lot. How many of you seen the news take of what happened this week? A lot of you did. Some of you didn't. Well, for the one that didn't, I saw this the other day, and it really moved me. And not just because of what this man did, but why he did what he did and what he encouraged her to do that is all over our media. So if we could play that, extend the screen, I think we can, so that it could be.
I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just, I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
I think you get the gist of the message. I saw that the first time and I said, that young man's a Christian. How hard would it be to forgive someone who murdered your brother? I think of maybe myself, and if it was my child or my wife or a family member, how hard would it be? There's an 18-year-old young man who showed the world what it means to forgive. My question for you then is this. You finish this to yourself. I need to forgive. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. I need to forgive my friend, my spouse, my parent, my coworker, my pastor. Who do you need to forgive? God says, forgive one another. Father, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for providing salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sin. How can I not forgive when such a great thing has been forgiven of me? For each and every one of us here who hold unforgiveness, Lord, help us. Help us to deal with that in a biblical way. Help us to learn to forgive. and maybe not the emotions to come around immediately, because we know that that doesn't always happen, but to start the process of letting that debt go from that person who has hurt us. And Lord, I do believe when we do that, the joy in our Christian life, our effectiveness, our power, our testimony will be what it needs to be. Father, I ask that you would just work amongst us, and maybe there's someone here today that they have not accepted the forgiveness of sin that has been extended to them through Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to accept Jesus as their Savior, the forgiver of their sins. Father, if that person is here today, may your Holy Spirit convict them. May your Holy Spirit show them now that they need to make a decision for Christ and give them the courage to do it. Bless this invitation.